This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hello, this is Julia Zamiro, and you're listening to Joy 94.9. Lucky you.
Hello and welcome to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9. Chris with a little bit of a tired voice. He's had an Easter holiday break. He's forgotten how to chat and everything. With me, and I'm sure who hasn't lost the knack of chatting, is Gordon. Hello, Gordon.
Hello, Chris. I don't think you'll ever lose the knack to chat. Doesn't matter how way out you are. You will always be able to talk. And Phil...
And Phil, he hasn't had a word yet, so you got a sore throat?
Here is my word.
Oh, right.
Hello.
It's lovely to have you, the listener, with us today as well.
Well, we've obviously all survived Easter, which is fun.
Chocolate overload?
Oh, I don't think so. No, I didn't eat any chocolate at all over the... I beg your pardon, I did. I had some bar chocolate. I didn't have Easter eggs.
I had none at all. In fact, the store didn't have any Easter eggs on Sunday. Which I thought was odd.
They would have been hitting with you with hot cross buns, wouldn't they?
I don't know. Which day is which?
Easter eggs are on Friday.
No, they're not. They're supposed to be part of the resurrection story, the rebirth.
Well,
that's why Sunday.
Why do they give you hot cross buns on Sunday? Or is that Friday?
Oh, still, it says cross, cross, cross.
I don't know.
You have fish on Friday.
As not being a very religious person, I never know which is what, why, where,
Well, of course, it was a pagan custom.
Well, of course it was. It comes from Ystra, the goddess of the fertility, wasn't she?
Well, I believe so.
And she had the rabbits.
And she had a hare as a familiar.
Hello,
hence
hello.
The rabbits.
What do you mean a hare?
H-A-R-E. The animal hair, not hair on your head, or the hair that bit you, or whatever it is.
she had this big hair coming out of her nose, but that's another story.
Yeah, but that's another one of the pagan fertility rites that the church decided to appropriate when they wanted to have something to celebrate the beginning of the spring festival, which was the equinox, which is in March.
A couple of days before.
That's right, and that's where Easter comes from, because it's the first full moon after the equinox.
Oh, you are such a pagan.
When the first full... This is what they worked out, that when the first full moon would come, that would be Easter, and that was when Jesus was supposed to have been crucified, but nobody knows exactly...
And born again,
but nobody knows exactly what date it was anyhow. They just pinched all these old pagan customs.
And, of course, we in Australia managed to made it into a super-stretched weekend with the Friday and the Monday as public holidays, as well as the 2 days of Saturday and Sunday.
But they're not just public holidays. They're the most sacred of days,
according
to the Bible bashers.
Yeah, yeah.
Oddly enough, in America, where they're way more religious than us, Easter is the Sunday.
Easter is just the Sunday.
You work on the Friday, you work on the Monday.
There's no Good Friday, no Monday, just the Sunday.
Yeah, so we worship holidays.
We do.
That's a very pagan attitude.
And how do we celebrate the paganness? We have sporting
fixtures. Yeah, well, I was surprised to see that they had a football game on Good Friday, which is probably the first,
I think, yeah.
We've been doing it in Blackburn. This was the second year we've had that.
Oh, right.
Very entertaining.
Was it? Oh, right.
And it was Australian rules football and rugby and soccer.
I think they were doing it all.
Over the 4 days.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a big day for sport.
And, of course, the betting institutions were there racking out their adverts left, right and centre.
Dragging in the money from all the ding-a-lings that bet on everything. Yeah. You never
we're
win.
We're such virtuous people, aren't we?
You're not meant to win at these things. The odds are stacked against you in all these things with Tats Lottos and all those betting things. That the odds are against you from ever being a big winner. People do win. I'm not saying that they don't, but, you know, you've got to have some sort of idea.
I've made more money by not betting and not buying tickets than I would have won.
You're probably right,
my unspent money. And I don't know where that is, mind you.
Yeah. If ever I win anything, it's only going to be my own money coming back to me. It's not theirs, it's mine.
I zipped away to Brisbane, I guess. Oh, you went away for a few days.
You went, turned back a century, did you? Or
yeah, I'm biting my tongue. I don't want to offend anybody.
You don't have to bite your tongue.
the people that I were with, they were saying, oh, wish we were going to Melbourne. Everything works in Melbourne. But I was surprised at the amount of freeways and concrete roads and bridges. Their God is the car.
You could say that they're following Melbourne, well, because Melbourne is the car is the god.
Well, no, because they only have road buses as their alternative public transport.
Don't they have a rail system?
They do have a rail system, but it's in total disrepair.
Oh, right.
We're so lucky with our 10-minute frequencies on our suburban setups here. And I must say my little silver cigar tube flew through the air very fast, very quickly, smoothly. Mm. We got there on time. Mm. We didn't arrive early and we didn't arrive late.
Oh, very good.
But it was so noisy.
You were just saying you said it was noisy. Why?
Well, the white noise of the air whistling past the
thing.
And I was on the aisle seat, and it was sort of, and everybody else in the cabin was talking loudly to get over that, including the little babies in this row behind me.
Don't you love that?
Maybe somebody wound down a window, because that makes it very noisy in the car.
Yeah.
Probably don't do that in the planes that much.
Yeah, I was listening to a show on the radio this morning. They're talking about the bilby rather than the chocolate bunny, you know, for Easter. They were doing the chocolate bilby, which is a little Australian animal that...
It's got big ears.
It's got big ears and it's got a long tail and everything.
It's a marsupial?
Yeah, it's an omnivorous marsupial, which means it will eat anything. But it lives in the northern Queensland, Western Australia, and the north of South Australia and the Northern Territory.
So the foxes and the dingoes would have it as tucker?
If you lived in the desert, you'd eat anything too.
Yeah,
you don't get to be picky.
But I think they're being devastated, whatever you want to call it. But they are being eaten by the feral cats and feral dogs that are getting out into the country. But they live underground most of the time. They have very deep burrows, apparently. But they eat little insects. They eat all sorts of little insects and larvae and all the rest of it. That's what their diet is. But they are trying to get the bilby to be the national symbol for Australia's Easter. And apparently, if you buy a chocolate bilby and it has a little tag on it, a certain amount of money goes to the Saving the Bilby Fund, which is quite good.
I've got a question.
What?
How do you turn a duck into a blues singer?
Oh, you're going to tell me something really, really beyond the pale here.
No, you just put it in an oven and wait until it's Bill Withers.
Yeah, all right. Okay, I'll try that next time I get a duck.
I think we'll instead listen to Sam Sparrow, another bird, but he's talking about happiness. You're on Joy.
I can see the sun coming up and I need it. Ooh, yeah. Like I've been down for a while. They said the grass was always greener, but you know I haven't seen her. I feel like I've been dying for a smile.
Loud, proud.
And you're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that on Joy 94.9. Thanks for being with us.
Yes.
We enjoy your company.
Coming up this week, Chris and Philip, is a sporting extravaganza which starts on Wednesday.
Is it a table tennis match, maybe?
I don't think they have table tennis. I don't think they have pong ping, no.
Is it a common type of thing?
It's a very common type of thing.
And if you've got a lot of wealth, you probably can afford to go.
That's right, yes. We're talking about the Commonwealth Games, which start on Wednesday.
The Gold Coast.
On the Gold Coast. Yes. They were in Brisbane in 1982. I was there for the opening ceremony in 1982.
They've had it once before,
haven't they? Yeah, in Brisbane they did have, yeah.
And the man running the whole show is an American.
Is he?
Yes. He joined the Commonwealth Organisation years ago through the Paralympics.
Paralympics, yeah. We're only mentioning that because it was...
on the 6th of April, 1896.
That's the one I was looking for.
Yeah.
That was the restart of the Olympic Games after 1,500 years.
The modern Olympics.
The modern Olympics, yeah. The Baron Pierre Le Corbusier, the Frenchman, got it all organised, and away they went with the Olympics. And because the Olympics was such a success, the Commonwealth countries decided that they should have a Games equivalent just with the Commonwealth countries, because there are quite a few actual Commonwealth countries, and that's how we get the Commonwealth Games.
There's one very unfortunate change between the ancient Olympics and the modern Olympics.
They're dressed.
Yeah, they're wearing clothes now.
Yeah. Why was there a gap? Well, in fact, it was because Christianity had come to the Greek and Roman countries, and they considered that the games were actually pagan. So it was the influence of Christianity.
Once again, they stepped in. But I had a thought it was sports. Also some... They sort of fought a few wars over things as well, with connected with the Olympic Games in the old days.
The Greeks and Romans were as enthusiastic about sports, and hence the Olympics, the games that they played at the Olympics, as we are these days. So we're just reverting to type.
Well, what did they build? They built the Colosseum as an entertainment venue where they would sort of have sporting events like you've got to outrun the lions.
Oh, it wasn't right.
Did the Christians not like that game?
I don't think they liked it very much
at
all.
They should have just stayed home and read a good book.
Yeah. The Olympic Games, of course, has now become such a huge conglomerate that everybody that's... has a little sport wants to be in it, which is making it so big that there's very few cities or countries are able to actually run them these days. They've got to be very, very wealthy countries to do it, because the cost is enormous. It runs into billions of dollars by the time they build all their sports stadium, if they don't have them already.
Some of our unknown sports actually started out as Olympic sports as well. Horse racing.
Was horse racing an Olympic sport?
Well, there was chariot racing.
Oh, yeah, chariot racing in the old days.
And
yeah.
It was around and around the hippodrome.
The hippodrome for the horses.
And the hippo is the name for the horse, the Greek name for horse.
That's right.
And that's also the drome, is where we get the velo, being the bike race place. Velodrome.
Velocipede.
What's a drome then?
Well,
because we have the aerodrome, referring to airports.
Yes.
Probably a big building or something like that.
Or
I guess,
a space
where you do these things.
Just place.
That's because when we called them aerodromes, they weren't big terminals.
No, it's not the building, it's the field.
It's the space, I think. I think the drone would probably mean a space.
Now, we just have to warn our listeners.
What's that?
If you keep listening, you're going to learn things.
Oh, Lord,
we apologise in advance.
Yeah, well, that's where...
And we've learnt this without actually quoting The Simpsons.
Yeah, but there's also the other hippo as well, which is hippopotamus, meaning water horse. That's where the...
The hippopotamus.
Hippopotamus, yes.
People weren't very original, were they?
No.
There was What's it look like to you, Bob? It looks like a horse, but it's in water.
Where that name comes from, water horse, yeah. But the Commonwealth Games are going to be a little bit different. They've already had a bit of controversy with some needles being found, but I figure that's sort of been shut up until they found out what was in the needles, and then bring it out. You don't have to bring it out at the beginning of the thing, you know.
Oh, well, a former Queensland Premier is the spokesperson.
Yes, that's right.
Beattie.
Mr. Beattie, yes.
Mm.
Yeah, he's the chairman of the Commonwealth Games Committee. Is Mr. Beattie. As long as the weather holds up, because their weather up there at the moment is sort of pretty nasty with that reforming cyclone sort of up around the Cairns place.
That was making the surf beaches on the Gold Coast very uninviting.
Were they?
And all the lifesavers went home, took their flags with them.
Were you at the coast?
No, but I saw it on the TV news.
Right, local television, yeah.
But
the weather they're getting up there, a friend of mine, she's up out of Cairns, and she's I learnt yesterday that the bottom half of her house was flooded in the last cyclone or what it was over there. Yeah.
That's why they build Queenslanders on stilts.
That's why they built them up in the air, so that the water wouldn't get into the house. Yeah. But now they don't do that because they're very expensive to do. There was another sport that was banned too.
Not quite a sport.
But it sort of is a bit.
Well, part of the Germanic paganism was the idolatry of May. The month of May, which was really in the summer season, and the proliferation of maypoles
around
which the virgins would dance.
Was the pole meant to be a phallic symbol?
It was, yes.
Yes.
Well, if they're dancing around it, it's no wonder they're still virgins.
The English Parliament abolished that.
Well, because of its pagan roots, the maypole met with some hostility in England in the 16th century, particularly when, and this sounds so familiar, when celebrations degenerated into a little more than drunken festivities.
Orgies. Yeah, they'd be turned into orgies, I would have thought.
The idea of mixed-gender dancing and merrymaking, particularly on a Sunday, caused many to denounce maypole dancing, especially during the Reformation of the
Thomas Cromwell.
Religion and there, as denouncing the maypole as an idol that was being adored or venerated, resulting in it being taken out of storage, sawn into pieces and burned.
But they did keep a lot of them. People kept them hidden so that they could do the little dances when they felt like it.
Well, in Germany, you can still see those maypoles.
Can you?
And they're hinged at the bottom and they fold them down. When they're at rest, they're benign.
Mm-hmm.
But once you elevate them, then you can have the ribbons on them and you can have your festivities
come the virgins
and everything.
Oh, right.
Exactly.
Oh, right. Okay. but the idea is that they plait them as they're dancing. They go overs and unders and they actually
plait. With the ribbons.
They actually plait the patterns into the thing. They have different dance steps that they do it to. Yeah.
It's amazing we've survived as a species. But think about all these things you can't do because they might be sexual.
Yeah.
How did we ever breed?
Well, I saw it.
Was it
legal?
Because that is the fundamental urge of all animals, and we are a highly developed animal, so we still have the primeval urge to procreate, and that's why it is.
Or practice, any rate.
Well, whatever.
We won't quote Monty Python, but every sperm is sacred.
I was listening to that song on the weekend while I was doing the ironing, actually. I was watching The Meaning of Life from Monty Python, screaming with laughter.
You're with Phil Gordon and Chris. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9 is Capital Cities Safe and Sound on Joy.
Our community is stronger with Joy. Become a member, joy.org.au.
You're with Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9. Gordon, Chris and Phil.
We're here.
That's us.
We survived Easter. Yeah, and so here we are again.
Oh no, I think I actually got a pimple.
Oh.
It's lovely that I can still grow pimples like a little
what
aiding,
were you weren't eating spotty chocolate
boy
or something, were you?
I must have been. Well, it was all the rich food that I was having up there. Oh, that's what goes. I really do enjoy pawpaws. It's pawpaw season at the moment, especially red ones. And maracuya. Phil, do you know maracuya?
It sounds horribly foreign.
Well, sounds very Mexican type or Spanish name, but it's all, that's the name for passion fruits.
All right.
And they're all happening at the moment too.
Mm.
And I had a couple of feasts of Moreton Bay bugs, which are a flat crabby type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Very tasty. And sand mullet fish.
Do you hope you wash the sand out of it before you eat it?
Oh, yeah. Now I've come back to nice, sensible, plain, simple food here in Melbourne.
Oh.
I'll tell you one thing. If you've got a dog in the house, you don't talk about eating pawpaw. They would take great offence at that. Hide their little hands.
Mm. Yes.
Well done indeed. On this day, or around about this time, on the 8th of the of April 1990, a young teenage lad in the US died from tainted blood.
Mm.
Now, okay, he was a haemophiliac, and even royal people have haemophilia.
Well, Queen Victoria was haemophiliac. She passed it on to all her children.
And what is that? It's just a propensity to bleed.
To bleed if you cut yourself, yes.
Whoa.
Yes.
And this young teenager was called Ryan White, but he died because he had been given blood transfusions that hadn't been verified for safe reuse.
Well, it was infected with the HIV virus. That was the problem.
Mm. Unfortunately, that was the part of the learning process with, I guess, any new disease.
That's right. They didn't know where it was coming from and how it was transmitted or what they was did. And they finally worked out it was from basically having sex or transferring blood to blood.
But bodily fluids.
But poor Ryan is known to us because of what he had to go through.
Oh, yeah, he went through
it. He was thrown out of schools and he was major news. And basically the Hollywood Society came to show that, you know, you can't catch it from him. He needs our love and support, not the hate that he was getting in the Midwest.
Well, it was Elton John that really took the whole thing up. He was the thing. And he's, Elton John is still in contact with Ryan White's mother. They still keep in contact. He sees her every time he goes to the US. And he, because of Ryan White, he's raised millions of dollars for AIDS prevention and drugs to countries that can't afford them and all the rest of it.
But it was a horrible example of how ignorance breeds hate and fear.
And I see on the television last night, they're now trying to get the hate out of out of people with HIV. How they're trying to get the stigma taken away from people with HIV. Yeah, because now people are living, because of the new PrEP that we spoke about last week, of course, they're living without any fear.
Pre-exposure prophylaxis. In other words, you take this pill before you're ever going to be in a situation where you might be exposed to HIV, and you've already prepared yourself.
Well, hoping that your blood system will stop.
But the other thing is that the people that have got HIV now are able to have their virus levels suppressed to the undetectable area.
Yep, that's
so
right.
there's no giver and there's no receiver, and there's this marvellous barrier in between.
Why do we use that word? It's obviously chosen very carefully. Undetectable. Is that not cured?
No, it's still there. If they don't take the drugs, keep taking the drugs, it comes back.
Okay.
It's the drug that suppresses the thing down to
non-. So complacency.
Complacency.
In general society and particularly those who are already infected. We're not in the clear yet.
No. The point is with the suppression of the disease by these drugs, eventually it will not be transmissible ever again and the whole thing will die out. It'll take a while to do it.
I mean,
but there, it won't, because it's not being transmitted, eventually it will die out of its natural.
Well, that's fine here. What are we doing in Africa?
Well, that's another thing. They've got this PrEP stuff. But it's, you don't have to think about Africa. You've got to think about the Australian Aboriginal community. Mm. There's a lot of infection in the Aboriginal, in Indigenous communities, and they want this medication to go to the Aboriginal communities. So to get them started on it so that they can't be...
Well, do we have a government? Is anybody doing this? I mean,
well, you don't know what they're doing. When you look at the government, you see that they've just allowed the private health insurers to raise their fees by nearly 4% for this year, this coming year.
Yeah, so their friends can make money.
Well, that's why I belong to a not-for-profit health fund.
Oh, good.
That's easy for you to say.
No, it isn't.
It's not. But in America, we're talking about LGBTI issues. In America, there's some Catholic bishops that have voted for an anti-discrimination bill to be passed against the LGBTI community.
They voted against
voted against the anti-discrimination bill. There was an anti-discrimination bill in coming before their local parliament or something rather, and the Catholic bishops got together and said that they were going to vote against the anti-discrimination. So,
do they understand that the Pope doesn't rule the world anymore?
No, I don't.
Are they of this time?
No, I don't think so.
They're reminded of it, you know, in God we trust, on all the coins and the notes.
Well, that's their God. What about my God?
Oh, you mean money is their God?
Well, isn't it?
Isn't it? They're the biggest. They're the biggest.
Well, look at the Catholic Church.
They're the biggest business in the world. They are the biggest business in the world. Yeah. But it's just unbelievable that they would even bother considering that. But then again, look at what Trump's doing with the LGBTI people, and he's stopping transgendered people from serving in the army or going to war in the army. You know, he's just done all this. And like, I think Saturday was the International Transgender Day. I don't know what Mr. Trump was doing. Probably down Lago del Mar playing golf, which he normally does every weekend. You'd never think he did any work. Yeah.
I thought he went to a hair clinic on weekends.
No, that's the orange skin clinic he goes to on the weekends. The hair is just, yeah.
He could actually have a rabbit on his head. It would look more like a hare than what he's currently using.
Now, look, I wouldn't like to be a youngster in Singapore because Gay News Network is reporting that the film that I saw at the Queer Film Festival last week, and I think you said, Gordon, is on general release here.
It is on general release. You can see it anywhere in most theatres all around the world.
It's called Love, Simon, which is, in fact, you know, the signing off on a little tweet message or email or whatever. You know, the end of the thing. Love from Simon.
Oh, is that what I wondered where the title came from.
And now it's because that particular film tells the story of Simon's coming out, not only to his own family immediately, but to an online friend who also identifies as gay.
Oh, right. And then, don't tell me all of it because I haven't seen it yet.
And they get to the point of being so comfortable with each other online that they want to meet, and they set out
to meet
where they're going to meet. And, yeah, this is part of the story. It is a very nice coming out story.
Sounds like a little book that I read and I reviewed on Joy a few years ago, written by an American author of young people's books, that this was about a gay boy that was trying to come out. And it sounds very similar. But in Singapore, they want it banned because they say it's
educational.
It's telling children how to be gay.
Yeah. What? Oh. Hello, no. But in Singapore, it's got the R21 classification. That means that anyone under the age of 21 will not see the film. It's in any of the cinemas in Singapore.
Yeah. Well, of course, I think Singapore possibly follows the Chinese thing about gay life, because in China itself, they don't have same-sex marriage. Although if they did have same-sex marriage, it would stop. It would be a good birth control system, so they wouldn't be overpopulating. But not to say that gay couples can't have weddings.
The influence of British law.
Yeah, well, that's in lots of countries.
In Singapore, they've got the Media Development Authority, and they're the ones who classify the films. And that particular organisation says the banning is essential of any films depicting a homosexual lifestyle.
Oh, God.
Because it's sensitive to community values.
And didn't they ever go down Boogie Street in the years gone by? Boogie Street was just full of transsexuals and gay people and everybody down there to pick up.
This film, of course, has no full frontal nudity, no violence,
no,
and no sex scenes.
No, but they still would ban it because it's...
Yeah, they probably let through all the knifing and shooting films and violence. Yeah,
they let through the violent films and the guns and all the rest of it.
Of course, with these days with the internet, I'm sure it will be available online.
They would be downloading it somewhere along the line, yes.
Yeah.
Everybody, they'd be.
I mean, it's an opportunity to actually educate Singaporeans.
Well, it should be educating the whole race, not the whole nation, not just the gay young gay guys or gay girls. But being gay is okay.
But did you hear the name of the department that blocked it? Media Development.
Media Development. Huh?
There's incorrect use of a word. They're blocking development.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, yeah. But it'll eventually be seen. The young people will get to see it. There's no two ways about that, because they can download and do everything on their computers these days. So here's good luck to the Singaporeans about seeing it, because I'm going to shove off to the movies tomorrow if I'm not doing anything extra special and have a look at it.
And here's Vanessa Amorosi. Oh. She's talking about things hazardous. Well, obviously, the Singaporeans think that about Love, Simon. But if you haven't seen it already, now that it's on general release here in Australia,
go and see it.
Consider going and seeing it.
Love radio? Joy is now on iHeartRadio. Take us with you anywhere.
You're with Phil, Chris and Gordon. Been there, done that, Joy 94.9. We're on the home stretch, lads.
Okay.
We've got a few birthdays we could talk about.
But before we do that, can we just remind everybody that they should be changing the batteries in their fire alarm system? Because that's what you they ask you to do on the change of daylight saving from
Smoke detector.
Smoke detectors, yes. So that's what you should be doing.
A lot of modern buildings, of course, have got these hardwired.
Yeah.
But they have battery backup.
Do they?
Mine does.
Oh.
So it's 240 volt with a 9 volt battery.
All right.
Okay.
So they can still detect smoke if the power is off.
So is it a rechargeable battery?
No.
You have to change your battery as well.
Then I do.
And
if you don't, it chirps once a second and will drive you crazy.
Crazy until you get another battery and put it in. Well, mine has to start chirping. It may have been chirping while I've been away and haven't heard it because I can't remember when I last changed it. I must have changed it sometime. There's a new smoke detector that you can buy that you it's got a battery in it that lasts forever or something or other. You don't have to do anything with it. I saw that, Ben.
I don't know that that's particularly good for the environment.
Yeah, well, I saw it on a television show where they were talking about smoke detectors and these ones that the battery is basically there forever or 10 years or something or other, you know.
Yes, they get a bit loose with words.
Yeah.
Like I love lifetime warranties.
Yeah,
you take your product in not working, also it's outside its lifetime.
Yeah.
It's dead. No warranty.
Well, there's a lot of those things when you come to these warranties and they don't stack up.
No.
Not at all. But anyhow, that's what you should be doing. You should be checking your a very good way to check it is to put a broom on the little button. A broom handle on the little button if you don't want to climb up on a ladder.
It says ooh.
And it just squeals. And if it squeals, your battery is okay. Yes.
People do tend to do that as well when they get a broom handle shoved at them.
You could start a small fire.
Well,
test it.
I forgot that I had some toast in the toaster one day, and I had filled the kitchen with smoke. Well, it wasn't filled the kitchen, but there was a bit of smoke, a bit of stuff. And it set the fire alarm off, or the smoke detector off, and the smoke detector is down outside my bedroom, which is a few metres away. It's quite a few metres away, but it did detect the smoke in the kitchen.
And that's a good place, actually, for you to have your alarm.
That's where they should be, outside your bedrooms. Yeah, well, I've got three bedrooms almost going off.
So we know you have a toaster. Have you got a hot water heater?
That's outside.
No, you don't.
Oh, no,
you got a cold water
heater. I've got a cold water heater, yes, because the hot water's already heated, isn't it?
A number of people have hot water heaters. You haven't got a hot water heater.
Yeah, but if you have hot water and it reheats it to keep it to a certain temperature.
That's a water reheater.
Oh, is
or a warm water reheater.
When it pours cold in it, it starts it off again. Okay, Phil.
I don't think we need to know all those fine details.
But we could now sing a little song called Happy Hippo Birdie to Use.
Oh, yeah.
And talk about birthdays.
Well, who's having a birthday this week then, Philip?
Not me, but Graham Norton is.
Oh, yes. He's very well known on
4th of April,
1963.
Mm. He's on the TV all the time on Channel 10.
He's probably on every night in America, in England, like 4 nights a week or something or other, but they don't give you the 4 nights.
He's a cheeky TV talk show host, isn't he?
Well, somebody said that he was actually watched a lot of old Graham Kennedy shows, because if you watch him, you can see Graham Kennedy's sort of the way he would do things.
Yeah, the setups and
the
jokes
and the way
and
the jokes come up. Yeah. Yeah.
But he gets all the big names.
Oh, does he?
If they're going to London, they'll be on his show.
That's right. And he does some very interesting interviews, and he's very, very good.
But he has the big red chair,
and that
which nobody else has.
Yeah, and that goes over backwards. If you're telling
you come out of the audience, and you've obviously spoken to the producer, and you've got a story to tell. And if Graham doesn't like the story, or often many of his guests don't like the story,
they'll pull the handle.
Pull this lever on the stage and the chair tips over backwards.
And all you see is the feet going up and over the back of the seat. It's a very, very clever gimmick. And sometimes there will be a very, very clever story and he'll just say, you can walk, throw that little
Well,
I know I want to be tipped over, so tip him over.
I think this is possibly one of those in the US White House.
Oh,
there's a big red exit.
The ones that they don't like, they sit them in
Trump
the chair.
Doesn't like
you're fired, boom. Yeah.
No, just be careful. If Trump says you're doing a good job, start looking around.
He does it to his friends and all the rest of it.
Oh, he doesn't have friends.
But he's
how could he?
But his doctor was on the television. The doctor that gave him the clean bill of health and said he was only 200 and something odd pounds, and everybody just roared with laughter because they knew that there's no way known that he could have been that weight and he couldn't have been that skinny. Yeah. And now that chap is the general medical hoo-ha poo-bar for the whole place or something or other. It's just unbelievable.
You're listening to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9.
Who else is having birthdays around about this time? Well, Hans Christian Andersen, the Danish author and poet who died on the 2nd of August 1875, born on the 2nd of April 1805.
Hmm.
Now, he did lots of fairy stories. He wasn't in touch with reality, I don't think.
But those fairy stories always had some pretty dark spaces in them. They were all pretty dark. Things are happening, but quite horrible in lots of ways.
You mean that there was a sweet story until the final chapter?
It would be during the thing, but it was sort of it came out okay in the end. But during the story, you had all these dreadful things that were happening to the participants in the story,
just like TV films,
something like that. Yes, I don't think anything's
until
changed
until Disney gets hold of them.
Yes, and then they have to be all sweetness and light.
Yes,
yes, yes.
Which is where he sourced a lot of his early movies.
Yeah, that's right.
Just taking classic tales.
That's right, yeah.
Which saved a lot.
But then again, of course, the worst ones for those things were the Grimm brothers, and they were grim stories, not just because of the name.
And just a spoiler alert, Bambi's mother dies.
Oh. Can we all have a little sob now?
No, we have to just face up to it so that when we see the film again, we don't cry.
He was a wonderful story writer, and of course, if you go to Copenhagen, in the port there is the Little Mermaid, is the statue of the Little Mermaid.
Yes.
But people they break bits off her, apparently, and they have to keep replacing the parts of the statue.
But she hasn't got boy bits that can
snap
off. No,
but they take her fingers off or something or other. There's something that they keep removing. It's the same as the
scales.
Yeah, probably that. But same as the hammer thrower down here in the Botanic Gardens. They keep pinching the hammer, so they don't put a hammer in it anymore. He's just standing there with his hands out like this with no hammer in it because they kept pinching the hammer out of it.
Well, there's a statue for Finding Nemo, but nobody knows where it is.
Oh, right.
Can't find him.
Well, that'd make a good movie.
It would.
Yeah. We'll have to think
about it. Set it in Sydney.
Was it? Yeah, that'll be fun. Yeah. Is anybody else having a birthday? Robert Helpman?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's next week. We'll do him next week then.
All right, then next week we'll do him. Also, it's banana season all year round in Australia.
Yeah, basically.
Because we have good growing conditions in the north of the country.
But there was a bit of concern over the last cyclone that went through with all the flooding rather than the actual wind. But the flooding was causing a bit of havoc in amongst the plantains, But, of course, it was in 1770, I think it was, when the bananas were sent, 1663, I beg your pardon, were sent to Britain for Lord Cavendish.
Mm.
And Lord Cavendish had a huge glass house and he'd like to collect tropical plants and plants from all around the world. And he put these banana plantains in his hothouse and they flourished very, very well. And then comes many years later, there was a huge disease went right through the banana crops of the world. and the only person that had good bananas was Lord Cavendish. And Lord Cavendish let them take cuttings from the plantains, take them around the world to give them back their bananas. That's why they're all called Cavendish bananas.
The only other variety is the lady fingers,
yes, yeah.
Which and she screams every time you bite. So,
short, stumpy things.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but that's where the Cavendish banana gets its name.
From Lord Cavendish.
Who saved the industry? Basically, saved the industry.
Yeah, I think some of our bananas get the Panama disease. I was searching for the name there, Panama disease, which actually does attack the Cavendish bananas.
Oh, right.
They might have to make sure that they still got some good, clean specimens in the Mr. Cavendish's hothouse.
Well, they've probably got some in reserve in Australia too, I would think. But the worst part about it is that there are so many bananas that are just thrown out because they've got spots on the skin and the supermarkets won't take them, which to me is absolute rubbish.
I mean, well,
that's what they call it. They just rubbish them. Rubbish, and they
accept the bent ones.
Yeah, well, they...
Why don't they take the spotted ones?
But no, they have to have the right angle of bend on them before they will buy them too.
Well, that's bent.
That's another thing. There's so much good, not only bananas, but so much good food thrown away in Australia because of a couple of spots on the outside skin, which you're not going to eat anyhow.
Or any fruit.
Any fruit. So I'm talking about all of it, you know, anything.
Ugly fruit is still edible.
I won't mention the name of the supermarket, but you can buy bags of spoilt fruit, or not spoilt fruit, spotty fruit.
Marred fruit, yeah.
And they also give away free fruit to kids.
Yes.
On the entrance.
Yes, I've seen that, one of those at one of the entrances too. But you know, that's just ridiculous. The farmers have to throw away millions of dollars worth of fruit and vegetables because it's not absolutely perfect, because we've been led to believe in perfectionism in fruit. And like, go pick a lemon off a tree. It's never perfect.
Well, perfect on the outside doesn't necessarily mean perfect on the inside,
no.
But vice versa.
And vice versa, yeah.
All the lemons I've tried are sour.
Oh, God.
Something wrong with them.
Oh, well.
And on Sunday this week, I could not buy a navel orange.
Well, the ships were all out of port.
But the Valencias are in, and I know that was an attempt at a joke, but the navel oranges last week were from America and Egypt.
I wouldn't buy them.
And no, you pick them up, and if they're heavy enough, you get a good orange. But a lot of them don't weigh very much.
Of course, the majority of our oranges are of such high quality that they now go to China.
That's right. But also, when they started bringing in all the imports of the oranges, all of our orange orchards up on the Murray were bulldozed, and something else was grown.
Yeah.
Yeah, they couldn't compete with all this rubbish that was bringing in from overseas.
Enough of the bulldozing.
Okay.
It's time to...
We can't go to sleep anymore.
No.
We've got to wake up before we leave.
Wake up. Okay. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.